Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to Dudes on Hockey. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, I had a thrilling experience last week.
Which was that?
I was on jury duty.
Oh yeah?
I was.
Guilty, guilty, guilty,
guilty. That's what I walked into the courtroom just chanting that.
String them up.
I did.
Yeah?
It didn't work. I got put on a jury.
Oh. And? What happened? Anything?
Nothing.
Nothing
happened. Hung jury. Hung jury. It was a thrilling way to spend 3 days.
Not exactly a John Grisham novel.
No, dude, I would say it was absolutely in the world of opposites, it would have made a great novel.
There was no like Sam Jackson in the courtroom, and I hope he burns in hell. None of that.
No.
Kind of thing.
No, there was nothing like that. There wasn't even like Sandra Bullock kind of hot lawyer.
Right.
I didn't have any. I had nothing going for me.
Nothing at all.
Nope, dude. It was just me and a bunch of strangers. No snacks. No nothing.
Oh.
We heard a story from another juror who was on in another case that they the judge told them to eat in the jury box like it was a movie. We weren't allowed to do that.
So like bringing out popcorn? That'd be pretty funny.
I couldn't believe that. Can you imagine like you're testifying, you're the person who's like on trial,
right,
and the jury's sitting there like, we're like.
And then he came at me with a knife. And
you're
I was
like,
scared
you're
for
like,
my life.
Hold on, Your Honor. Can you stop for a second? Excuse me, juror number 5, can you pass the spicy ranch dip? Oh, man. So that was my week, dude. That was my week.
Sounds like a great week, dude. And another humdrum week in the world of hockey. But still, we soldier on. The podcast is here. There are a few things to talk about. Again, on a personal note, we had a season ticket draft just now.
That's right. I have made the sad and brave decision to not attend every game this year, dude.
Mm-hmm.
It was a sad moment in my life, but I have a lot of conflicts this year with my schedule at school. So unfortunately, I knew I had to miss a lot of games, but we're lucky enough to have two good season ticket partners. And I got some good games, dude. I'm pretty excited. I'm still going to half. I got the Capitals game. I got the Rangers game.
Mm-hmm.
Got two LA games. Got a really doozy of a matchup against Carolina early.
Nice. Or not.
That's the second game, dude. I want to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, which Finn will you see? Will you see Niemi or will you see Nitamaki?
It's a good question.
Or will you see Thomas Heemskirk?
Could.
No.
Or PJ Anderson?
Could not.
Yeah.
So that was exciting, dude. Are you happy with the games that you got?
Yeah, and that I got all of them.
That's right.
Well, it's also a good thing that you only went to some of the games because then your wife doesn't have that murderous glint in her eye.
As we saw from yours downstairs, yes, as she was writing the schedule in her planner.
Yes, yes.
You're going to be gone every night for 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, that's pretty
right.
much.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am.
Kind of true.
That's right. Oh, and well. I haven't even told you about my Premier Soccer League schedule.
At least I can TiVo those games. But we're not going into that. We decided.
No, we're not talking soccer.
And we're not doing video this week.
No so video. No.
I thank those of you that watched our YouTube clip, but we had like a major drop-off in viewers. So, you know what? I'm not doing it this week.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, you're teasing.
I am a little bit. You know, maybe it should just be one of those things that should be like a treat. Oh. Maybe it's
looking
not.
At us, looking at us talk to each other over our card table is a treat.
I'm trying to market us, dude. You can't just see us whenever you want.
I guess.
Yeah, you have All right. You have to decide. Maybe we should wear like funky costumes every time or something.
How about some big news of the week? The fantasy leagues have filled up.
Yes.
We have 26 teams, not counting these super dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And we have gotten enough emails that actually we are going to start the third and final league. So
right.
If you did email us at questions@dudesonhockey.com, you will get an email probably before you even listen to this podcast letting you know that there's a third league. And we would ask you to please act as quickly as possible to add your team. The league is called Dudes 3 Hamburgers Helpers.
Oh my God, that's a great name.
And we hope that you'll add quickly. And if there are still open spots by Friday, we'll post the link on the website and people can join any open spots there are. So
yeah.
We're looking for 13 new teams, dude.
Or even if you want to email us between now and Friday, we'll try to get you the information if you're sure. that proactive about it.
Yeah.
We always reward that sort of thing. And otherwise, or you can just hang out and hope you get a slot on Friday. But it looks like we are going to fill a third league. We had several people email us pleading tone. Please, I miss the league. I need to get in.
I really need to fantasy with you.
Yeah, we had one with some questionable grammar. Let's just put it that way. I'm not going to read it here on the air because I don't want to embarrass anyone. But actually, why do I not want to embarrass somebody?
Dude, because you are a polite and courteous person.
Yeah, but it makes for a bad podcast when everybody's polite and courteous. Oh, well. We'll let it go this time. You sent me another bad grammar email. I'm reading it.
How about those losers at the rookie tournament?
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Dude, the rookie tournament going on right now. Actually, mm-hmm. the Sharks do not play tonight, Tuesday, but they played Sunday night against the Anaheim Ducks and beat them,
mm-hmm.
their rookie team. And last night, they played against the Canucks. And even though with a valiant comeback, they lost, I think it was 5-3.
Mm-hmm.
Have you watched any of these games on the intranet?
I wasn't able to watch the Vancouver one, but I did see most of the Anaheim one. It's... Yeah, I got a little bit of that excitement again to see some hockey. I haven't seen great high-level hockey in months, so I'm happy to see that again. You want to try and get a little bit conversant with some of the names that we're going to see at Teal and White next week, which we're going to, of course, and you know, in some of the preseason games. You know, I want to see... We talked about Marek Videnský so many times last year. I want to have a good, close eye on him, see if he can make something happen. Of course, everybody's watching Nick Petrecki. You know, Ben Ferriero was impressive the night I saw him. He had 3 assists that night. And we saw Brandon Mashinter looking pretty good. I mean,
Mashinter had, I think he was credited with 2 goals, I think, actually. So,
oh, did he get the one that they initially credited one to Petrecki? Maybe he got that one?
I think that he did end up getting that one and Petrecki did not.
Right.
But Mashinter, the little bit that I saw him play, that guy seems like a real gamer, physical force, a prototypical power forward.
Yeah.
Yep. So... I don't think it's totally out of the realm of possibility, depending on his preseason. And he'd be the type of player that you'd imagine that we probably will see many times in the preseason as they're trying to decide who's going to be on the club. And also, Doug Wilson has probably got trade feelers out there. If the Sharks decide that Ryan Clough is the one that's expendable in a trade deal, you know, logical sense is that Mashinger is the one that would probably jump in, but is he ready for that? Too soon to say.
I think it's too soon, especially since the management group seems to have moved away from testing rookies in this season, certainly at the goaltending position.
Right.
Of course, you know, a third or fourth line power forward is not nearly as important as a goaltender or even a backup goaltender, but still, it seems like Doug Wilson is still certainly playing his cards as if he wants this team to go as far as possible. He's not hedging his bets for the future. He wants to push all of his chips into the middle and see if he can make this sucker go all the way. So that appears to be the situation. Anybody else at the rookie tournament that made an impression on you, dude?
You know, some of the young D last night, I thought like Nick Schoss played pretty well. Just a little bit that I saw of him last night. There were a lot of names that I didn't know, you know, guys that are there on tryouts. A couple fights early in that game last night from guys I had no idea who they were. Although one of the college kids from last year got in a fight early. I'm trying to remember who it was.
McIntyre or Wingles?
It wasn't. McIntyre didn't play. Now this
That's
is
right.
another
he
little bit
hurt.
Of news is that Cam McIntyre, who's a guy that has kind of been penciled in by a lot of us as a potential third or fourth line player, is out with a minor injury. So he's not taking part in this tournament. They say he should be fine, but the preseason, they're just being cautious. Tyler Sexsmith, also not part of this rookie tournament.
Right.
They have some other goalies down there that they're taking a look at. Interesting that Harry Sateri is not there either. I mean, as far as I know,
I think he's still in Finland playing, so that was kind of the
word. They signed him to his entry-level deal, and they're just not going to do anything about it, I guess, for right now. So clearly, they don't need him. The inn is full, as you would say, right? I didn't honestly watch enough of it to really say that someone...
Yeah.
I don't know. As much as I'm jonesing for hockey, I felt kind of strange sitting in front of my computer watching a rookie hockey tournament when the Giants are in a pennant race right now. So,
yeah.
Sorry, dude.
See, I don't have those conflicting loyalties. It's all hockey all the time for
me. Right.
Well, in other news, I don't know if anybody, if everybody had seen this, is keeping up on the news, but Doug Wilson said pretty much, I know there's been questions about Owen Nolan out there, and Doug Wilson had an interview that one of our listeners was nice enough to link to and send us, and I know it was quoted on a Sharks page, if you read sharkspage.com, which I hope you do. Doug Wilson essentially closed the door on Owen Nolan, saying, you know, we have a lot of people at that position. You know, Devin Setoguchi is the right wing. Ryan Close is the right wing. We have a lot of guys at that position. And he I think he mentioned some of the college guys as well by name. And he just said, we're pretty locked up in that slot. So Owen Nolan is not going to happen. It's a sentimental pick, a nostalgic pick for those of us who remember some of the great times with Owen Nolan here in Teal, but it looks like this isn't going to happen. One thing interesting that Doug Wilson did say is he said, we tried to bring him back a couple years ago and it didn't work out. He sort of threw that off in passing and went on with his thought, but that was kind of interesting. I don't know when exactly that was, but I guess there was a chance at one point for an Owen Nolan resurgence.
Yeah, it might have been before he went to Calgary. I mean, that might be the time where it makes the most sense, or actually, dude, the one that makes the most sense might be right when he went to Minnesota after he had such a great series against the Sharks. That might have really caught Doug Wilson's eye and go, geez, you know, Owen's still got a little bit left in the tank. But yeah, I don't think it's in the cards. And, you know, looking at Bill Guerin taking a tryout from the Flyers.
Yeah.
You know, Owen Nolan, I guess I'm going to have to eat my words. I'm sure he's going to end up on a tryout somewhere. I kind of hope it's not with the Ducks or with the Kings. I think that would be disturbing
for
me.
Dean Lombardi, old Sharks GM,
LA. I don't want to see him wearing one of those uniforms. Like, I just think, you know, for nostalgia's sake, like that, that would just be really weird.
Yeah, it would be. It would be unfortunate.
I say boo.
Not quite Gretzky wearing St. Louis Blues gear.
Oh, it's worse than that.
but not a great thing.
No, it'd be okay. No.
Okay, dude, what are we going to go to next? We're going to talk more Pacific news. We have an email.
Yeah,
here.
We got an email. Let's go to that.
Okay, cool. Let's.
It's a crazy trade. Did you have the the music this week by chance?
Hold on, I think I got it. Here we go.
Crazy trade.
All right, good times. Dude, I don't have the email in front of me. Can you read it for me?
Oh, man, I don't have it in front of me either, but I do know the gist of it.
Okay.
We have talked about Mark Stahl, who is still available.
Yeah.
And Devin Setoguchi for Mark Stahl. So I think that our listener who wrote in said, while the Sharks are still looking for a defenseman, you know, some names that came up to him were Alex Goligoski, right,
yeah.
dude?
Yeah. Oh, I got it right here. It's okay. Jim from Section 202.
Jim.
You can't say we're not prepared on this podcast. so here we go. Jim says, this got me thinking about some other possibilities. Young two-way defenseman. He was thinking Tyler Myers, but Buffalo wouldn't give him up.
Negatory.
Yeah, no chance on that. Then I considered Goligoski and Letang. Then someone out of the blue, I hit Zach Bogosian. Great mobility, owns a big shot from the point, is very aggressive, and he's only 20. So he was thinking maybe Setoguchi for Stahl, or Setoguchi and a piece for Bogosian. Is this a viable deal, or have I gone off the rails on a crazy trade? Jim, appreciate the soundbite reference there. So, dude, which one of these deals do you like better, and which one of these deals do you think is more likely?
Oh, my gosh. I like them both.
yeah.
I think that the more likely deal is probably Stahl, just because of his contract situation and sort of the contentiousness of the situation that seems to be going on up there right now, where no one seems to really be able to agree on what his real value is. And, you know, I could very easily see them doing a 1-year deal and then Stahl getting out of Dodge next year, you know?
Yeah.
So for Sather to get any value for Stahl at some point might be the way to go. The way the Thrashers are built, dude, is kind of interesting. Like, I'm looking at their roster. You know, you look at their defense, it's Hainsey, Enstrom, Bogosian, Oduya. They have Bufflin listed back there right now. I don't think that that's going to stick, you know, but maybe. Bufflin, Sopel, Meyer, Valabek. I mean, that's not bad.
Freddie Meyer.
They got Freddie Meyer for a deal. But their forward situation is pretty
thin.
When you're looking at their third line, they have Patrick Rizmiller penciled in.
Wow. That's the Riz.
Not too exciting, and probably relying on guys like Nigel Dawes to be major contributors.
Mm-hmm.
They're very gritty up front. So this team's going for a major makeover in terms of changing like their total look. I mean, they're going to be almost the Flyers without the skill. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think they're going to be... I think that the Thrashers could be one of the top penalty minute teams in the league, like in terms of just really being a kind of bruising and, I mean, maybe not very fun to watch.
True. And Jim, although you're right in that Atlanta certainly needs offense and they could certainly use a guy that they can put on the top line that could score 30 goals with a decent centerman. Who's their top center? Brian Little?
Yeah, they've got Brian Little. I mean, their top line right now would be Antropov, Kane, and Little.
Yeah. So, but the thing is, you talk about all of these other young defensemen in the league, and the Rangers notwithstanding, because the Rangers are crazy, right? The Rangers will do anything. You know, crazy trade was made for the New York Rangers in a way.
Right.
I can't imagine Atlanta getting rid of a top quality, I believe Bogosian was number four overall, a top quality 20-year-old defenseman, you know, that has a lot of promise. I just can't see that happening at this point.
Right.
You see how great Doughty's been. You see the Blues holding on to Eric Johnson. You see the Toronto Maple Leafs not ever even consider trading Luke Shen, even though they have, you know, everybody else seems to be on the block. I just, you know, you mentioned Myers. There's no way Buffalo will give up on him. You know, right now, young, cheap D is as valuable as anything else in this league. And I can't imagine, it's Rick Dudley now?
Right.
Rick Dudley will not get rid of Bogosian. I just can't imagine it. So the question is, Stahl for Seto, would you make that deal straight up?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I wouldn't even think about it.
Really?
Yeah. Stahl is... a younger Robin Regier. I mean, this guy is big. He's better than Murray.
Mm-hmm.
A different kind of player. I think he's a legit number two. I mean, you could play him with Dan Boyle.
Right.
And that'd be pretty exciting. And it's not like Stahl has a learning curve anymore. I mean, like he kind of has figured it out. Whereas Bogosian, you know, this year, he's played, Bogosian's played 128 NHL games. And, you know, last year he had 23 points and was a minus 18 in a full, you know, series of games. I mean, for him, this year is kind of, he's got to take that step forward or, you know, he's going to be in Roman Hammerlick territory here. I'm trying to look at Stahl's numbers here, dear. When I say 128 games and Stahl has played 244.
Wow.
It's like Stahl has three full NHL seasons under his belt. 80 games, 82, 82. Last year he had 27 points. He was a plus 11.
Yeah.
This guy, I mean, he's 44 penalty minutes. He doesn't take penalties, but he's out there a lot in important situations.
Okay, so this is a guy that we like, but the question is, we've talked about several weeks in a row here. We've talked about what do the Sharks actually need at D. We talked to EJ Raddick a few weeks back. EJ was certainly pretty adamant that we don't want a guy like Kevin Bieck. So we don't want a guy like Willie Mitchell. Doesn't that mean we don't want a guy like Mark Stahl?
Yeah. I mean, according to EJ, who I guess by all accounts we should believe is right about everything.
Yeah. Juice box.
The juice box. If the juice box is correct, then this is not the right player.
Mm-hmm.
I just still don't know if I totally buy that.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know how you can take a... It'd be hard to look at that deal and take a pass on getting Mark Stahl.
Yeah.
That would be hard.
I think that you would make that deal and then, you know, if you felt like you had a duplicate part somewhere else, I just think you look at the blue line and you go, okay, Boyle, Stahl, Vlasic, Murray, or Boyle... Murray, Vlasic, Demers, like that's a big difference. So I don't think it's going to happen, though.
I don't think it's going to happen either.
Dude, let me throw something out to you here. Another team that is in a really bad salary cap spot, and we've talked about them before, and they've been eerily quiet because I don't know which madman is running the ship, is the Calgary Flames.
Yeah, that's true.
They have a problem. I mean, they are $2.3 million over the cap right now. And they have Bouwmeester, Regier, White, Sarich, Steos, Giordano, Stefan Kronwall, and Adam Party all kind of floating around on the blue line. I mean, those guys, Steos excluded, because that guy sucks right now.
Yeah.
I think he was rated the worst regular NHL defenseman in the league last year.
Yeah. One time I liked Steve Steos quite a bit.
But
not
one
anymore.
Time, maybe it was that when you were 15? Because it's not now. Yeah. Their forward situation is super bleak, but would they even consider trading one of those guys within division? I did read a review, not a review, an interview with Robin Regier, where he didn't seem very happy.
Right.
And he also said something to the fact that he definitely had been approached at some point during the summer.
I don't think.
About a trade.
Yeah, I don't
he
know.
Wouldn't, or he wouldn't comment
he
on
wouldn't
it directly.
He wouldn't say well, then why? If they had or hadn't asked him.
So then that means they have.
Probably.
So, and I think there were legs to that Savard for Regier deal. The Boston, that makes perfect sense, especially if Boston thinks that maybe they're not going to be able to pay Chara next year.
Can you imagine Savard and Iginla? I mean,
that's
why wouldn't Feaster or Sutter want to make that deal?
Well,
of course they would.
Maybe it was Boston that balked.
Yeah, maybe it was.
I mean, they might have balked at it for some reason.
Yeah. I would have made that deal in a heartbeat if I was Calgary.
Yeah, I mean, and if you're Boston, you go, well, do I really want Regier and Chara? Like, that's kind of a weird...
And Chara has more points. I mean, Chara's a better... He's a better mover.
That's kind of... I guess.
And they have... Well, I guess
they don't have
Wyman anymore. That's right.
They have Seidenberg. So, anyways... I just keep looking at Calgary and going, gosh, they got to shed some salary, you know, but it's not like the Sharks can really take back the money that they would have been able to take back. And I know that takes us to our next point, which is Mr. Sheldon Surrey.
That's right. So Regier, let's finish the thought here. Regier, we don't think is going to happen. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Maybe I should move on. No, let's finish the thought. Regier, we don't think, is going to come to San Jose, mostly because salary doesn't fit, and Calgary's not going to be in a position where they're going to want to take back our junk. They're not going to want to take Huskins or Wallin or any of those guys. They got enough D as it is, and they're not going to want to take more salary on D. So while we could certainly use a guy like Regier, and he would certainly be a better version of Mark Stahl, as you just said a moment ago, just salary-wise, money-wise, I can't see it matching up there.
No.
And they're not. And for the same reason that Atlanta's not going to trade Zach Bogosian, Calgary is not going to be willing to trade Mark Giordano.
Right. And Giordano's the most affordable. I mean, he's making $900,000 for a guy of that quality of how he played last year. That's the guy who's not moving, period.
Period.
I mean, they're...
They would trade all the other guys before they'd probably trade Giordano.
They're probably looking to move Sarich. That's probably who they're looking to move.
Probably.
You know, because Ian White, you know...
He's pretty cheap too,
He's $3 million. Sarich is 3.6. Now, I always thought the Sarich signing was weird anyways, given, you know, when they had Phaneuf, Regier. I just thought that was an odd...
It was goofy.
...player to add. That was so Sutter-esque. So, in terms of the Rangers, you know, they are also over the cap. So...
The Stahl thing obviously makes sense, because he's not signed.
Right, but they can't even sign him. They've got to get rid of somebody.
Yeah.
So they're in a little bit of a bad spot, too.
All right, dude, let's talk about Surrey. So Surrey, that's been the big NHL news this week, is he is still under contract with the Edmonton Oilers. He said months ago that he might be interested in getting out of town. He would be interested in being traded away from Edmonton. Certainly seemed to walk away from those comments a little bit as of late. But now the controversy continues, because he is not invited to training camp. So he's basically like...
He's an outcast.
Don't come into work, mate.
Leprosy.
Yeah.
You have hockey leprosy.
Yeah.
Shun.
So, and he's been waived. So no one took his salary for nothing. No one took Surrey for nothing. He's making, what, 5.5, 5.6, something right. along those lines.
Right.
So really the only way they could get rid of Surrey is to trade him and take back a bunch of salary in return, or they could waive him and then put him through re-entry waivers, which means they get half of his salary and whoever claims him would get the other half. So either one of those two things looks like the most reasonable, because there's no way they're going to just pay a guy to sit at home. I mean, they're going to think of something to do with him, right? Have him wash floors in Stockton.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the last case where we've had, I guess Montreal told George Laroque to stay at home last year. Now that's a difference of about $4 million of salary.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about the re-entry waivers possibility. I mean, that's how the Sharks got Jay Leach, right? I mean, although that was a total steal. Do you think, first of all, are you interested in Sheldon Surrey in at any price?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm interested in Sheldon Surrey at the right price.
What is the right price for you, dude? A sack of nickels and a power bar?
Unfortunately, it's less than his re-entry waiver price. I am not interested in paying another guy $2.5 million to either, in Surrey's case, be mediocre or hurt. And we already got a $2.5 million guy in Wallin. We got a $1.7 million guy in Huskins. We don't need another guy in that salary range who we don't know is going to put up the numbers. 2 years ago, Surrey, I'd say bring it on. But now that he's that much older, that much more banged up, I'm just, unless they want to take back most of his salary in trade, I would not be willing to take Surrey.
I don't even think we have that legitimately to offer. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, it would have to be something like this. Like, it would have to be, okay, I am on CapGeek, so I just took Sheldon Surrey on the Sharks with all the current players. And that puts us $3.7 million over the cap.
Yeah.
So let's say we call up Steve Tambellini and we tell him, okay, you have to take Ken Huskins.
Uh-huh.
So that puts us at $2 million. I mean, you're looking around, you're like, who do you even want to get rid of here?
And Wallin?
He has a no move. He's got a no move.
Oh, that's true.
So then you have to take Torrey Mitchell.
Okay.
And
somebody else.
And you have to take, gosh, I mean, now we're getting into really weird territory here. So,
yeah.
You know, there's, who else do you kind of make them take? I mean, you know, there's no one. I mean, these other players, you need them. Okay, just for the purpose of entertainment, we'll tell them that, you know, Wallin loves Edmonton. He's going to waive his deal to go up there.
Yeah.
So now the Sharks are short a forward, and they're playing Jay Leach every night.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
And all that to fit in that juggernaut of Sheldon Surrey. Now, let me put it to you this way, dude. All right. I'm Doug Wilson. All right, so I call you, I go, okay, I'm going to give you Wallin, Mitchell, and Huskins, and I'll take Surrey at full price for two more years, but I want your first round pick.
Oh, no way.
No way?
There's no way they would do
it. Well, that would be the only way I think Doug Wilson would do this.
Because Edmonton sucks, and that's going to be like a top five pick.
I know. Well, I think that's the only way Doug Wilson would do this.
Yeah.
If you want me to take out your sack of biscuits, dude.
Yeah.
I want your first round pick.
What about a second round pick that would put you in the low 30s?
No.
No?
Maybe.
Yeah, you're waffling now.
But this is completely unrealistic because Wallin is not... He's unmovable.
No,
That price, and he's unmovable. So I think Surrey to San Jose, 0% chance.
Yeah, not the right... Again, not the right partner. Not the right situation.
No.
Yeah. Because Calgary needs somebody to take on salary, and really so do the Sharks if they're going to add a high-priced player.
The Sharks' trade chip might be Ryan Clough, and especially if Mashinter or McIntyre, they play well. And so that's, you know, $3.6 million to kind of toss around along with your cap room. And that would get you a really good player in return, you would think.
Yeah.
So you're not going to give them Ryan Clough, who would solve the cap issue for Surrey.
Yeah, that would be ridiculous.
That's like...
Yeah. It's like, I please pay a 36-year-old banged-up defenseman who hates Edmonton $5 million, please?
Right.
No thanks.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah. All right. What other news here, dude?
Let's see. Bobby Ryan.
Bobby Ryan signed, finally. I mean, that saga's been going on a while. It hasn't really hit much headlines because everybody seems to be so nice in that negotiation. Bobby Ryan says, I want to stay in Anaheim. And Anaheim says, we love Bobby Ryan. And then what they're forgetting to mention is behind the scenes, they're all hollering at each other for not offering enough money or asking for too much. So I guess it was finally done. And now he's actually making more than Getzlaff and Perry. Is that right?
No, he's not. He's at 5.1. Perry's at 5.3 and Getzlaff's at 5. Getzlaff and Perry make identical numbers.
That I knew. So, okay. So I guess I missed the final number then. So yeah, I guess I think that had to be the sticking point with management. They're like, listen, kid, you're not getting paid more than Ryan friggin' Getzlaff. All right. Right. You know, it's like, you can go home and stew on it all you want, but you're not getting more than Ryan Getzlaff. There's no chance. I mean, most fantasy rankings and hockey rankings I've seen puts Getzlaff in the top five centers in the NHL, if not top five, very close to it. Bobby Ryan is not in that conversation of top five wingers in the NHL now, so he doesn't get to make more than Ryan Getzlaff. It's too bad. Maybe in a different market he would have made more, but on that team with those players, he's just not getting it. And I guess he did the smart thing and just sucked it up and took it. Oh, boo-hoo, $5 million.
I know. Yeah, poor him.
Yeah, boo-hoo.
They can have all the forwards they want. Their D is
terrible.
So bad. Yeah. And we'll remind each other that it's...
Brett Festerly?
It is. He's in the top six right now.
Brandon
Mickelson. Brookbank, Sutton, Lidman, and Vishnovsky. Honestly, I wouldn't want any of those guys. I mean...
I always had sort of a soft spot in my heart for Vishnovsky.
Oh, dude.
I kind of did. He's kind of little. He's like tiny. He's like Boyle, but shorter.
I mean, of course you would take one of those guys, but those on the Sharks, I mean, all those guys would be third pairing.
Vishnovsky wouldn't be. Vishnovsky would be their second power play quarterback.
Dude.
Absolutely would be. He would be the number three.
Dude. You call me out?
Yes, of course.
Okay, you're probably right.
Yeah.
I think the Ducks. I think the Ducks are going to suck this year. I think that I really think that they could be maybe the worst team in the Pacific Division.
I think that's very possible, especially since they're going to roll out their second line again, which really wasn't great last year. So they're going to throw out.
What do you mean the Koivu, Solani, Jason Blake line?
Yeah,
All of those guys. Koivu and Blake and Solani both making $4 million plus.
That's just nasty.
It's not good.
Yeah.
It's not funny. It's not fun.
All right, dude. So next week we got Teal and White. I seem to recall, and I'm a little sad I remember this, that every year we get excited about Teal and White.
And it's always terrible.
And it's always bad. And I usually manage to forget in time to actually go into Teal and White with a spirit of optimism and excitement. And now I just reminded myself that it usually sucks. So try and cheer me up about Teal and White.
Dude, it's a great timeout. We'll definitely get to see some players that we have no idea who they are.
Right.
This is your first opportunity to confuse Niemi and Inamaki.
Yes.
You'll get an Unimas taco, probably. Dude, those are good.
I guess they're
all right. We get to try out our new seats. We've moved
slightly.
A whole whopping half section over, right?
Move like one row down and six seats to the left or something.
And this is another chance to get excited about Petrecki inappropriately.
That's true. Way too soon. Yes, premature excitement about Petrecki. It wouldn't be preseason without that.
That's right.
All right, dude, any other business or should we wrap this thing?
Let's wrap it up. Look for your emails for... the Fantasy Hockey League.
Yeah,
if you don't get one, look for it on Friday.
Friday night, get your fantasy code, and we'll see you in at Dudes 3 Hamburgers Helper. That is still the best fantasy name ever. All right, dude. Talk to you next week.
All right, Luke.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.